Hello, everybody, and welcome to the fifth week of the Survivor Know It Oz. We are here chatting all about Survivor New Zealand. So thank you so much for tuning in. We are 5 weeks deep into this podcast, and I am absolutely loving the chance to chat everything Survivor New Zealand with you guys. And please keep checking it out and recommending to your friends, because I'm getting a lot of great feedback. So I just wanted to start off with a big thank you to the IHAP community and everyone who's listening and sending in their questions and just making this such an epic ride. We've had Phoebe, we've had Craig, Flick, and then we had Mike Bloom on. And let's add to that Mount Rushmore of Survivor New Zealand know-it-alls guests, because today I am joined to talk about week five with my season one cast mate, one of the funniest blokes going around and someone who I have been dying to talk to on the podcast. And in real life, we don't get to talk enough. This is the chance. This is Evan Jones. Evan, how are you?
Nick, I feel blessed. I feel touched, especially the Rushmore reference.
Oh, you're on there.
I've always been told that I've got quite a quizzled. Oh, geez. Maybe chiseled quizzled? Jawline.
Quizzled.
Quizzled me. You put me on the spot and I'm in a hot flush. You can't see me right now, but I'm actually wearing a yellow T-shirt in your honor. My hat is backwards. I've been trying to ostracize myself from other people. I'm really trying to embody the Nick Iadanza experience. And
mate, I think you've gone about it the right way. All you need is some football playing all Australian bloke to come around and start berating you for no reason, and I'm pretty sure you are there. You have reached peak Nick Iadanza. So well done.
I hope that's not a reference to anyone in particular. That sounds quite direct. That has someone been picking on you, Nick? I'm concerned.
That's just a very, very generalized reference. I don't know who it could be about, but welcome, Evan. Thank you so much for coming and chatting to us. This is your first time on RHAP, listening, speaking to all the fans out there.
Yeah.
Fill everyone in. How have you been? What have you been up to? It's been a year since Survivors happened. What have you been up to?
Mate, it has been a year. It's pretty surreal. Like I knew when I was speaking today, I got the old Agono and Buff out from my experience, and I actually hadn't put it on for a year.
Yeah, right.
And you know, when the cold sweats stop at night and you stop waking up screaming, and, you know, you don't have to pay your psychologist as much, you eventually get to a point where you sort of start to like yourself again. I wouldn't say love, because, you know, after that experience, who loves himself ever again? But
I think quite a few people on our season love themselves.
That's what Instagram's good for, because
yes, of course, yes.
The prerequisite for being an Australian Survivor contestant is, one, get on Instagram and take your shirt off.
Yeah.
Two, document everything that you do, because you must do that. So myself, I'm really thankful that you've asked. I'm getting through, mate. I'm loving life. Missing being on an island, like watching this New Zealand installment. I am so jealous. I don't think you can articulate enough how jealous you are, not to the negative sense where you despise people, but the fact that you just want to be out there. I'm sure you're the same, mate. I'm sure you're the same.
Do you know, it's funny. Like, there are times when I'm like, wow, like that would be so much fun to do, but it really is the minority of the time. Like, I think when I watch them participate in a challenge is when I get really I really wish I was out there. Most of the other time, I'm like, I just sit back on my couch and think, more fool you for being out there. Like, I had the best time. And I think maybe part of it is my fear of, you know, if I was to do it again, I probably wouldn't have as good a time.
Be more business orientated. Be more sort of like, this has got to be done. I have to do this.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's one of those things. Maybe I'm good just watching for now and chatting to you and all the great fans out there who want to hear about Survivor. So I'm glad you've been doing well. I hear you've been doing a podcast that people might want to check out. I know we've got a lot of American listeners and it's very Australian orientated.
But you know, it's funny. We've got a really big following in America, which is quite interesting.
So what is it? What's the podcast? How can people find you?
Okay, so the podcast is called The Back Pocket, and you can find it through SoundCloud. There's also a Facebook page called The Back Pocket, and we look at AFL football, but we look at it in a humorous way. We don't take ourselves too seriously. We don't try to overanalyze things. We're just there to have a bit of fun and poke fun at people that need fun poked at. So I think it's a bit in line with my personality. I don't take myself too seriously or anyone else. And it's a good laugh. So, yeah, the back pocket on SoundCloud, you can get amongst that.
So a bit of Aussie rules football there for anyone else who doesn't know what Aussie rules football is. Check it out. And,
check it out.
We'll give you a crash course. You know, you talk about, your humour and poking fun at people. I got to say, Evan, the first time I ever met you obviously was on the mat.
It was.
That first day.
Yes.
And, we'd been on the trucks.
Yep.
And
everyone was doing their stare like, you know, heaven forbid if you looked at someone and you gave them like a wink. A game is all about relationship building and everyone's like, oh, I better stare and look mean. My God.
Well, look, apparently I was staring at too many people.
Yeah, you probably were. Your beady eyes, that rat-like disposition that you and I both have.
Look, exactly. So I think I found you as a bit of a kindred spirit from across the map. I just thought, this guy like looks like he knows Survivor. And look, Survivor nerds, we find each other. Like you can always tell a Survivor nerd. They're like,
and you pick them from across the hall. You see them.
Yep, and it's like we've got this like little invisible buff around our head, and I could tell. I was like, this guy knows Survivor, and going back to your humor, I remember, and I'm sure you do as well, that on that first day you did a huge like stand-up comedy routine pretty much on the mat. It didn't make air, but I've never forgotten that, and you went through and assessed everyone who was like people assigned someone a character from a long-running Australian soap opera, Neighbours.
Yes.
I thought it was absolutely hilarious.
Well, see, that was just strategy for me. Like, naturally in my life I can get away with things generally because I can make people laugh. I don't think I'm as funny as what other people say. I'm always very humbled by that when people go, geez, you're hilarious. Well, okay, I sort of loathe myself every now and then. But anyway, moving on from that, I thought if I can create a relationship with Jonathan LaPaglia that it's banter between us, they're just going to go, this guy's a clown. He has no idea what he's doing. He's going to get swallowed up in this contest. And then I didn't want to be threatening. And so that was all strategy for me. But it's also fun. It's a real surreal thing. And I felt for people. There's so many people out there that were like babes in the woods. And I'm thinking, I've been waiting for this for 15 years of my life. I'm ready to go, people. Let's go.
So
there's also that aspect where you understand that other people might be feeling a bit, overawed. So you've got to make them feel comfortable. Like, oh, hey, this guy could be interesting to talk to.
Yeah. Well, that kind of links into Survivor New Zealand this week, and we've got a lot of stuff about Jack and his kind of humor and people saying that it's too much or, I think that that's him. And I think that, yes, he's playing it up, but I think that he's just a funny young bloke who doesn't take himself too seriously but knows when to switch it on and switch it off.
And I think people need to understand, Nick, is that when you go through this process, before you go on, you are told, be yourself. Like, don't be someone else other than you. And that's what frustrates me when people go, oh, were you told to do something? Hell no. You were just told, be yourself. And I remember before I went on, I used to speak with Tony Vlachos via Twitter. He's a great guy who won Kagayan in American Survivor, absolute legend.
That's cool.
And he always said to me, be yourself. Like, they will spot phonies. So when you get on the show, the only way that you excel is being yourself. And I actually think the people that end up failing are the ones that tweak too far from their own personality.
Yeah.
And don't show the real person they are.
Yeah, it's a good point. And look at you getting tips from Team TV.
Team TV. What a legend. What a kind
right,
man.
Let's transition to a bit of Survivor New Zealand. We've had a big week. You've come on at the one of the highlights of a Survivor season. We're at the merge.
Merge.
And we had a lot of really interesting dynamics. I was like very interested to see how it would happen. I feel like towards the end it became quite obvious what was going to happen.
Yeah.
But I definitely was really interested to see that the dynamics shake out. So we have a merge. We have two sides with Shannon and Avi playing, spying in the middle of both sides.
Secret spies.
Yeah, and it's what side are they going to go with? And I think it was pretty clear where they were going to go in the end, but they ended up settling on the retirement village people, the older person's tribe alliance, and they
I'm just imagining them all in construction hats and Sala wearing an Indian, sort of garb.
Yeah, and Barb with her, police. No, that would probably be for Nate, wouldn't it?
Be Nate.
Yeah.
Barb would be in some commando gear. I can see her
doing
it, that.
That's it, the commando. I was trying to think of the other one. Yeah. I can see it, the retirement village people. I love it. I love that name. That was great. We chatted about that last week with Mike Bloom. What did you think? Did you see that one coming, or how did you feel that was going to shake out?
Well, I find it interesting. I'm always a really big advocate for looking at the edit, and I don't know whether it's the media teacher in me, but I really get sucked in what we're trying to be told subliminally. And it's really hard for me to switch off from that, because often when we get to the merge, I can sort of have a fair idea about who might be going or who could get to the end by what we're being represented.
Yes.
But I will say I got more interest in seeing what Shannon was doing and how she was showing herself and how Arvi was trying to handle people and how Shay was going a little bit too strong.
Mm.
And then how Nate was doing his a little bit of subtlety and people were talking about being bullied. I found all that sort of subtle stuff more interesting than the real obvious, like, oh, hey, these guys have got to go. Because I think if you don't pay attention now, you're not going to actually see what's coming up.
Sure. Well, this was Kel Sherman's question to you. What does Evan think of Edgic, and what does he think of how Survivor New Zealand is edited? So that's really interesting. Who do you think is getting the best edit at the moment?
Well, can I say, first of all, in terms of its editing, when I first saw the first episode, I'm like, am I watching Pearl Islands? Like the sort of production values are a little bit old, so I got this real nostalgic feeling.
Yeah, I see that.
And now in terms of Edgic, well, I think at the moment it's so obvious that they're screaming that Arvi is going to go far. Like, but personally, that's what I see, because people keep going to him, telling him things, and keep reiterating how he's going to decide. Yet then we've got these strong sort of alpha male types like, Mike. And of course, Lee. And then you've got someone like Tom is he alpha male? Is he like you and I, Nick? I don't know. He's sort of like somewhere of a hybrid. But they're being the ones that are painted like they're making decisions when they're not actually. They're going to other people. So for me watching it, I think Arvi's going to go far. And also I think Shannon, through this whole Redemption Island thing that's going on, I actually think she can last quite far as well.
Yeah, it's funny. It's exactly what I thought, and I got a question from the Survivor Stick on Twitter, hit me up and said, who's going to win this season and why is it Arvi or Shannon? Like, it's a lot of people are getting that read. I think it's quite obvious that they're going far. Whether they win or not, that's a different question. But we're definitely being told the story through their perspective, and maybe that's because they were in the middle, but I feel like we've been getting their story for a while now. So I wanted to talk about Shannon. What have your thoughts been?
I think here's someone that is obviously a strong personality, and they're probably trying to mask that now. They're trying to sort of hide that. I did find it interesting that she said that she's trying to bring on her acting game right now. Like, she's trying to do everything she possibly can to throw someone under a bus. And I think you have to have that mentality. This is what people don't understand. People, when they watch Survivor, think that people bully people. They don't bully people. You have to say negative things about other people. So if someone comes up to you and says, hey, you know, Nick's running around and he's scurrying, or Evan's running around and doing this stuff and strategizing too much, it's much easier for another person to say, oh, yeah, he's doing that, I don't like that, and to discredit someone.
Yeah.
So I actually think that Shannon's playing a very smart game, and she's not actually taking things personally. Whereas, you know, Nate and Barb are sort of turning around saying, we're feeling bullied. You know, we're feeling on the outer. That's pretty strong.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I think Shannon's got a really good read on the game. It's clear she knows the game, and I've spoken about this before. You know, she says, you know, I'm not a solid part of either side. I know I'm on the bottom of each. You know, she's you know, playing that middle role. I think she played it well, but I do get the feeling that she was playing it just a little bit too much. Like, she was really chewing the scenery there. You know, I think the great Aubrey Brocco said it best when she was talking about Julia Sokolowski. She says, when you play the middle of the road, sometimes you're going to get run over.
Absolutely.
And I just think that she was playing it too much. Now, she was in a bad spot coming into the merge, and it was seemed like her only option, so she had to. But she really, really was like amping it up. And yes, it got her through that vote, because there was no chance she was going home when people thought that they needed her.
Yes.
But what is her prospect long term by doing something like that? Is this going to be a group of people who value and reward someone who duped them? Or is it going to be all about, honor and integrity and all that blah, blah, blah stuff, that stuff that doesn't fit in Survivor. But we've heard Lee talk about it. We hear Sala talk about it. We hear Avi talk about it. Yeah. You know, I'm sure that's what Nate and Barb think that they're all about. And it's just like, are they going to reward someone like a Shannon or like a Shay, people who are willing to kind of make those tough decisions? That's the tricky part.
And you're right, and it's how it all boils down and how it breaks apart. And, you know, if Avi eventually goes against Tom or goes against Mike, then that relationship breaks down and that fractures everything, and maybe there's more dislike towards other people. Like, crazy as it seems, knowing the people of New Zealand, I think everyone wants to see deep down in their heart Sala win. Like, there is something about him as a person that is beautiful. Could it be this season where he gets to the end and he's next to people that are more skullduggerous? I'm not sure. And he gets rewarded because he's been true to his word and he tries to do what he wants to do. You're very right. You're very right, Nick. It's going to be interesting. At the moment, I'm not sensing, as much as it looks like Avi and Shannon are getting some good edits, I'm still not being wowed by anyone at the moment. Avi said a few things in this episode that concerned me a little bit when he was saying that he's ready for any surprise. Like, he's on top of every surprise.
I'm like,
are you kidding me? No one's on top of every surprise.
No one. No one can predict what happens in Survivor, because either the other contestants pull the rug out from under you, or the show's going to pull the rug out, or your own body, or the environment. Like, there's so many things. And when I heard him say that, and I was just like, mate, you better brace yourself, because you can get a really good run in the game, but then it can all turn to crap really, really quickly. You know, it happened to me. It happened to Lee. It happened to, you know, there's lots of people on our season and throughout Survivor history who have had a good run, and then bam, like that, it's all gone. So that was definitely a concern when he said that. Maybe he's not as keyed in as we think he is. But what did you think? So Lee gets voted out, and it's at Tribal Council, and as he's leaving, as he's leaving, he says, "You better hope you don't make it to Redemption Island," and like points at Shannon. I was loving that. That was great, because the Lee that we got for the whole episode,
it was very really a nice Aussie. He's like a nice Aussie. It, like, you know, like, he's a bit vague. You know,
not
like,
Aussie as in A U S S I E. You mean O Z Z Y Aussie?
Yes, of course. You know, the Jungle Book Aussie that we admire for his physical prowess, and we don't admire for his social game. And Lee's sort of like, but a nicer, not as arrogant Aussie. But at least
great comparison.
Yeah. And I just think that the only good thing about a Redemption Island season is you do get constant conflict. Where people will be angry, or you're like, who's going to go home? Are they going to come back? For me, myself, I'm not a fan of Redemption Island. I like it for Blood versus Water series, because there's the family element, the loved one element. But I struggle with it, because I'm always a believer, if you go to Tribal, someone goes home, and that's it. And that's what I think is beautiful about the game. But having it, though, we do get those elements of conflict. Let's see what plays out, you know.
Lee says this to Shannon, and it clearly is an indicator that what Shannon did and the way she was playing it didn't work. Like, yes, it got her that point, but the fact that Lee, who we've been, you know, we got a whole episode about, he's like, the thing that's the most important to me is my integrity.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how he's like, you know, he's here for the experience.
Don't
the
call me that, a bully. I'm not a bully.
I'm not a bully. Yeah, you know, the fact that even that guy turned around and was so angry at her.
Yeah.
And I know it's in the moment, and when you get voted out and you see that your torch getting snuffed, you do get really, like, all these emotions hit you, whether it's sadness, you know, like, whatever. It really does kind of show that maybe she was playing it a little too much. So I don't know.
And is that the producers? Is that the narrative nodding at us, saying this person's going to be sitting at the end and people aren't going to like her?
Yeah. Well, you know? that would be interesting. But it wouldn't be that different to how a lot of people have played Survivor New Zealand, which is this idea of, you know, it's about the group that you're with. And, you know, other than like the Shays and that, like, it really is a lot of people that are playing like that. But I'm really confident. I think this season has got a lot of legs, and I'm very interested to see the dynamics play out. I think it was the appropriate amount of swap, and then the extra element of someone coming back from Redemption Island. I think that added the right amount of, you know, mixing it up a little bit. I want to just talk about Shannon, what, you know, something that Barb said. Barb says, you know, oh, Shannon, you know, this is before they merged. She would say that, you know, she's awfully good at chatting to all sides. Oh, Shannon, just calm down, you know, just enjoy what you're doing. Yeah. Just be quiet. How did you feel about that? Because I'd say that you and I are very similar character types, and yeah. I thought it was odd that you and I were both on the same season, because yep. we are quite similar, got yep. the same job.
Yep.
We both love Survivor. We kind of yep. look the same, and
yep.
you know, we're the same age, same point in life. And yep. So I'd say there's many similarities to the way that you and I played. It's just that we didn't get a chance to see the way that you played completely.
Yeah, exactly. But
I felt like that's something that people would say to me all the time, like, oh, Nick, just stop scrambling. Like, yeah. you're always scrambling. And it's like, well, it's annoying because sometimes you have to scramble, but yes. then if you do scramble, you look bad. And it's yeah. just like you're in this catch 22. And I've spoken about this before, but what are your thoughts on that? Because Shannon's in this position where
yeah.
she has to fight for her life. She's not just going to sit back and be quiet because you want her to be quiet.
I struggle with it with any season I watch where people tell people don't play the game. Yeah, like I find that very, very difficult. So, for instance, if I'm on any season, my personal opinion is I'm going to reward the person I think who played it the best, and I would never begrudge them for playing it in any way they played it. Even if I disagreed with how they went about it, I'd still go, well, good on you for playing it. So I think for Barb to say that, it's obvious she's a very, very different player. She's got her idea that she can get to the end, and, you know, she might get there. She might be dragged. Far out. My point of view is I would rather go out in the first few days taking a risk and being true to how I want to play and feeling respectable about how I've played than get further and not really do anything. Like I think a lot of people struggle when they actually get far and don't do anything because they're looking back going, wow, I did nothing. Like I had this cool experience. But I didn't do anything. So, and I suppose going back to you saying how you and I are similar, it's interesting how you can be put there, but I think everyone, there's always similarities through any season and there's different shades, and maybe, Nick, they were hedging their bets, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they went, one of these guys is awesome. So we'll at least, well, both of these guys are awesome. We'll get one of them.
We'll at least get one of them for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you know what? They really, they went to really big depths. Like they then had to swap tribes to keep you. So come on. Like, where, you know, I would have loved a tribe swap. Wouldn't that be amazing?
But they wanted the ghost of Evan hanging in the game through me. So. Evan, talk to me a little bit about this whole thing about Arvy and Tom's relationship. How did you feel about that? Because you hear Arvy say, like, oh, I really miss Tom.
Yeah.
And, you know,
he's got feelings.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's this whole idea of, you know, Arvy wants to split ways with him, but then he's like, what about how you saved him? This whole idea of IOUs. He's like, well, you owe me because I saved you so many times. Do IOUs exist in Survivor?
No, not at all. If you're an idiot, they do. like in my personal opinion, IOUs exist strategically to get yourself further, to guilt people, to make people emotionally want to invest in you. Absolutely. In that sense, in blackmail, IOUs are great. And the best IOUs are the ones that are done so, so subtly. And I think Arvy's got a subtle game and Tom doesn't have a subtle game. Tom thinks that he's got a very, very subtle game. So I find them very, very interesting. I find them the yin and yang almost of the season at the moment. And which way is it going to go with those two? Like, I sort of see, like, Arvy seems to be on the right side of things at the moment, and he's sort of got this a little bit of distance with Tom. He misses him, cares for him, but there's something off on his radar, whereas Tom's a little bit more black and white. I can use this person for this reason.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, with the dynamic, as you've said, of the cast that they've got, I think it sides more with Arvy. I think more people would want to work with his character type than what Tom's got.
And we've got Shay kind of like going after Tom for so long. I personally would rather see Tom at the end. But that's just me. What about when he said that Sala had said to him, and I found this interesting, I think this is perfect considering you're on here, and you know, he said, he goes, you know, maybe, you know, are you going to stick with us? You know, are you going to play like with your word? Do it for your students.
Now, oh, no.
Evan, you are a high school teacher.
I am.
I am a high school teacher. Yeah. Together we are Teachers R Us.
Teachers R Us.
Teaches R Us.
The greatest missed opportunity in the history of Survivor. Teaches R Us. It would have been incredible, mate. We would have been lesson planning, you know.
Oh, mate.
Everything.
We would have been, we would have been, you know, standing up at the board. We would have been telling people to tuck their stools in at tribal council.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Teaches R Us, what do we think? We had, you know, him say, you know, do it for your students. And is that something that you thought of out there? Like, how hard is it to kind of separate? You know, we got a lot of people this season talking about their job, whether it's, you know, I'm a canyoning guide, so I trust people trust me. Or,
I'm a zookeeper. You know. I can manage things and different personalities. And
I can have monkeys throw their poop at me.
They
it's just, it's so, it's just, people always rely on their job. But as a teacher going into the game, how did you feel? Did you feel that kind of weigh on you, like the expectation
What's interesting is when I went out there, I was doing everything personally for myself. Now, as much as people say that you do things for your family, they're secondary. I don't care what anyone says. Everyone has their own personal self-pride. Now, what comes very close to my personal self-pride is generally I like myself when my family likes me. So it's all intertwined. Yes?
Yeah.
It's intertwined.
And very good. Interesting.
So I went out there saying, I am winning this for me. If anyone says to me, in terms of interviewing me, what's your goal? If people go, oh, I want to make the merge, that's a loser mentality in my mind.
Yeah.
I want to win. That's, you know, I want to win. So I think when you're looking at it in the sense of your profession, me being a teacher, I am the first person to know that teachers are not respected, okay?
Yeah.
No one talks about that we do 70-hour weeks. And get paid for 38 hours. Everyone just talks about holidays. It all balances out the end. We're very blessed to have holidays. I know that. I'm not a laborer. I'm not doing life-threatening jobs. I do deal with the well-being of maybe, because I coordinate as well, 500 students all up. So that's a big responsibility. But I didn't really want to talk about being a teacher out there because I know that it's not a respected profession. And on the side of that, I didn't want to say that I was a drama teacher, not because I think that I'm an amazing actor. Hey, first of all, a drama teacher is either a failed waiter or a failed actor. Okay, so I fully know where I'm at. So I thought if I said that I was a different profession, I thought about doing a police officer, but I thought I'd get picked out straight away when I heard that we had army people on our tribe. I thought that if I said I was an art teacher, that no one knew what I was acting, that was a lie that I was able to keep up for myself to keep myself sane. Yeah?
Yeah, right.
Like to keep me on. So when you're dehydrated and losing sleep, all I was thinking about was keep this lie up. And the only other lie I tried to do was don't tell anyone I'm a super fan. I don't want anyone to know. No one knew that I was a super fan at all. No one on my tribe knew that. You did because you picked me from, you know, across the mats at the start. But I think people talking about their profession and trying to guilt other people is a smart move. Yeah. So, yeah, it's like people talking about people's families and kids. It is strategically smart to make people emotionally insecure or doubt themselves.
I've got to tell you this funny story about while we're on this topic. When I was eventually voted out and I did my press, it was a radio interview for somewhere, you know, around the country. And they said to me, they were like, you know, because the episode the night before when I was voted out, it was when we got the letters and I, you know, cried.
Yep.
I cried during my confessional. I had some idiot interviewer be like, Now, Nick, earlier in the season, like you cried last night, right? Earlier in the season, you said that you could fake cry now because you're a drama teacher.
God.
Why are we supposed to take you seriously when you do cry? And I was like, oh, that's so awkward, mate, because that's not actually me. That was Evan you're talking about, so you might want to get your facts right. And I called him out on his his morning radio show, and his co-host just like laughed in his face and said, you just got burnt by Nick from Survivor.
In fairness, we are quite similar. So let's... You know, I just think, there we go.
So that was a nice little moment. I thought, I think, you know, like, yeah, that's for me and Evan. You know, screw you.
Yeah, screw you, man. but it is interesting. Like when I exited, and you know, you get your last talk about how you feel. The only thing that broke me, which is very ironic because I didn't go out there thinking that it would at all, was they said have you got any advice for your students?
Yeah, right.
That killed me.
Yeah.
Nothing else. Like, oh, how do you feel about being, you know, voted out by people? Oh, well, okay, that's the game. You know, like, I think they've made a horrible mistake, but it's the game. And then when I was asked, you know, your students, I was like, wow, it really affected me.
Yeah, that's funny. That happened, you know.
And I thought, you know, why it affected me was I knew that they would still care for me, or they'd still respect me or like me. Yeah. And that's, I think, when you go out into a situation where no one likes you. And I think that's what people forget. Like, yes, you make connections with people, but no one truly likes you for you, because you're not showing you. No one is. And then when you think you're showing you, people don't see it, or people don't believe the person that you are.
Sure.
That's what makes it quite challenging. So that's why I think it's difficult for when people get out and they're asked that question, like, how do you think such and such will think? That's when it affects you.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. It's funny, the episode, the night where I went home and Elle and I having a pep talk, Elle was giving me a pep talk. When I am crying, it's due. I'm mentioning, you know, I've got students at home that kind of like look up to me. I don't want people thinking I'm this person. So yeah, no, I relate to that. Yeah. I relate to that.
What a beautiful person Elle is. Isn't she beautiful?
Elle's great. I've said this many times.
One of the people that destroyed my life dream. I couldn't think any more highly of. I think she's such a beautiful person.
Yeah. And it's a shame that more people didn't get to see that of her. So,
yeah.
Evan, I want to ask you about this whole thing about New Zealanders and their relaxed attitudes.
Yeah. Like, I was like, the word tip. So I say tip. Americans would probably say tip like that. But tip, like, it's a real New Zealand tip and nick like that. It's really interesting, you know. Got to be in it, doing it. It's incredible. Oh,
we've had a great time on this podcast laughing at the accents when it said, someone said, you know, oh, I might go check out the bitch. I'm like, what?
Might go check out the bitch, eh?
Who did they just call a bitch? And like, oh, they're going to the beach. Right. I got you.
Water well. It's incredible. Okay. And Sala.
That was an Asian accent.
It morphs. It always morphs. We're all Asian when we go back to the history books anyway. But if we look at Sala, how about him at the end of the last episode? Cool. You're like, he's just, what a beautiful man. You know, oh, cool. You know, it's just like, it's incredible. Everybody else is clutching their heads going, my game might be over.
Yeah.
And you got Sala going, hey, cool.
The thing I find most interesting about New Zealand culture, and you know, for the New Zealand listeners out there, you guys are great because you are so relaxed. There has been like one person in what 20 or so days of Survivor that's lost their cool, and that was Tony because he's a crotchety old man. Everyone is so relaxed. You know, they've just merged. They've reached this milestone, and yes, they cheer. But then when they're walking in and they see this massive feast, they were like, oh, cool. Look at all that food. Like, they were so restrained. It just felt so flat.
They were civilized.
They were so civilized.
And that's what I found even from watching it. They talk about strategies in confessionals like, oh, yeah, this is happening. This is the strategy. It'll end up happening or we'll do it. But they don't seem too phased. There's no the game's over. It's just like, oh, yeah, we'll get around to it.
They always complimenting each other. It's so good. I can't believe how chilled out they are. And you know, the merge, okay? The merge is historically the craziest episode of Survivor in a season. It is what you plan for. It's time when people's games shift and people kind of like kick themselves into gear.
You're on the bottom, you can be on the top. It's just incredible.
There is just shit flying everywhere. And in this merge vote, no one was scrambling.
No.
They were napping during the day. They were playing cards before tribal council. We've got Shannon, who's in the middle, sunbaking. We've got Avi down there journaling down the beach.
And first of all, why have they got so many things on their island? Is this Survivor or is this sort of like a paradise beach?
We've covered this. We've definitely covered
this. There's decks of cards this episode. What the?
It's crazy. Like, they've all got their little activity. It was like activity hour down at the, you know, the holiday resort. You know, you would never think that they were about to go to the first vote of the merged tribe.
Yep.
As someone who was there, let me just explain how crazy a merge vote is. We had 13 people all hitting the beach at the same time. We had one afternoon of, you know, we had been to the immunity challenge. at the Mute Challenge. Brooke hung upside down on that poll for long enough. She won. We had a crazy afternoon. People were going left, right, and center, talking, conversations in the bushes, and then we had a really big vote, which I was happy that the show gave me the credit for organizing that vote. But let me tell you, that took hours of careful coordination. The thought of taking a rest on the beach, it's just so funny. Mate. I need to go to New Zealand and meet some New Zealand people. I need some New Zealanders in my life to just kind of settle me down. Like,
they're beautiful people. And all of my Maori friends, their culture is so inclusive and loyal. And yes, there is that element of laid back, but when they're passionate about things, that's where it really shines through. And
yeah.
So, yeah, you're right, beautiful people. And I'm the same as you. When people in my tribe were having a sleep on the third day, I'm like, well, I'm looking for an idol. Yeah. I'll just say I'm bringing back coconuts. But if you guys want to sleep and not play, I will.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I don't like, and I know everyone told me I need to calm down. I've got a very intense personality. I talk too much. Great. But you know what? I never, and I know this because I actually tried one day. I think it was day 28 or something like that. And I was like, I haven't fallen asleep during the day. You see the people on Survivor napping during the day.
I lay down
because everyone was kind of lying down, just talking about food in the one spot. I thought, okay, this is probably a good time to see. Nick, try and see if you can fall asleep.
Yeah.
I tried to close my eyes and I just couldn't because there's too much going on. And like, you're just so excited to be there. These people are napping. It's just, I'm so impressed by the fact that they are able to play and enjoy themselves at the same time. I was playing wrong. Clearly I was playing wrong.
It's all relative, you know, it's all what you grow up on and what you watch and what you study, you know, like, and this is what one thing that I probably kicked myself. And it's probably a message to anyone that auditions for any version of Survivor. Make sure you know your country well. Make sure you know that because, for instance, for yourself and I, it's studying, living and breathing American Survivor, that did us absolutely no help whatsoever in Australian Survivor. But then it changes, you know, it develops and it's a very fluid game. So I do love New Zealand Survivor for the fact that it is them, you know, it's their own brand. And I think that's where why winning is so difficult.
Yeah.
Because the brand can be there, but then you can get abbreviations of the brand throughout the game based on the people you've got. It's an incredible social study.
Definitely. So I want to transition to let's get some quick fire questions here about, I'm going to go through all the different challenges. So what did you think of the challenges what have you thought of the challenges thus far? Because this week we had the, memory challenge for a reward. Mike wins. We have the immunity challenge, balance your balls on the disc and Mike wins again.
You said that very well without making any mistakes. Well done.
Well, we had the host say, you know, your balls are on the move. It hits the dick. Yeah. He meant deck, but I was like, oh my God. Like, and it was very Jeff Probstian double entendre. What have you thought of the challenges?
I've liked that, first of all, as I said before, since it seems like a throwback to older Survivors, that it seems like when something pops up, you're like, oh yeah, I remember this one. You know, like this was from such and such. I do like that they do change it up at the merge where they sort of reward the people that have got through without being physical. And they go, you know what? We're going to give you a break now. All the alpha males are draining out, so they can't do the heroic things we thought they could do. So let's get a memory one.
But he won that anyway.
And he won that anyway, which is not good for him.
No. Well, he said, I'm not. I know. I'm not worried about being seen as a threat. Like, that's a silly man there. Like, I contemplated throwing the first immunity challenge that I went to because I knew that I was okay. I was pretty sure I was okay that first vote. And I thought, you know, do I throw this challenge to not stand out? And then, you know, I ended up being the last guy standing. And that really did raise a few eyebrows because I remember Sam and Lee leaning into each other and going like, wow, like Nick's actually really strong. And I was like, oh shit. But you just, in that moment, you don't want to throw it because you want to win. And but L and JL, they dropped out, you know, if it was a reward, I definitely would have dropped out, but it's a tricky
thing. I will say dropping out is a lot better in an individual game than when it's a team game. I hate it when tribes throw a challenge.
We had a lot of discussion about that last.
I think just desserts generally happen for those. Yeah. And I feel for someone like I even look at Russell Hance, you know, when we go back to the Redemption Island with Boston Rob and his tribe throws a challenge, so they get rid of him. And fortunately, the survivor gods didn't reward them. The tribe was picked off.
They got their just desserts.
So maybe, you know, those that dropped it in New Zealand will also get a bit of just desserts.
What did you think about the whole Barb fainting thing? Because they cut it out.
Yeah, they did. I love seeing a good emergency.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if you see the emergency, you know they're not dying. And you know they're going to be okay. And there's going to be a story to tell. So show me everything.
Show it. Show me everything.
Show me the eyes rolling back. Yeah. Show me the people crying as if they're a loved one when they're not.
Yes, I want to see the doctor coming in. I want to hear the Jeff Probst kneeling in saying, Dr. Joe, what's the status? You know, like, what's going on?
And then all of a sudden it's an Australian accent and you're like, what the? Yeah. And then you're like, hey. That's what you want to see.
Who didn't love the chaos when Caleb was evacuated? Oh, you know, Jeff's there with his umbrella.
I've never seen so many umbrellas on a beach. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Because in our season, we had Kate's boil and they cut away from seeing the pus come out. People want to see the pus.
They do.
People want to see it.
Show me the pus. Yep.
Show the pus.
Show it.
What about Redemption Island? So we had a really cool challenge here. We had the card stacking challenge, something I wish that I got to be a part of.
Georgia and Shay.
Yeah. What did you think of Georgia? I really liked her.
Yeah, I liked her. She had a bit of spunk about her and it meant so much to her. I think other people have exited and you've just sort of seen them have a resignation.
Yeah.
And I know she was so close, like knowing you're that close sucks. And to be not far off and your structure fall apart.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I do like Shay too. I think Shay's got a bit of spunk about her. And I think she's got the ability to make some moves. So I wasn't gutted, but it is a shame that George is still not around. And it's very interesting. The female competitors we've got left are so different.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Barb that's sort of a little bit more laid back and will probably get dragged to the end. You've got Shay that's got a bit of attitude about her and will rub people up the wrong way and the men will be threatened by her. And then you've got Shannon that seems a little bit more strategic than the others, but she'll also not be liked because she's going to flip and flop. I think we'll miss Georgia. And I did like the card stacker. It's a great one.
It's crazy how that one thing, that she was one card off of winning, then she would have been back in, and then the whole nature of the merge changes.
Yeah, changes.
So that's, you know, when Ali says, you know, I'm planning for everything. You can't plan for everything.
No, you can't, mate. You can't.
I couldn't believe Shay's stacking. I've never seen such a haphazard stacking system before.
Yeah, she was playing
Jenga with that thing. It was crazy. What about Georgia? I just felt so bad for her. She was so close, and then she has to go home knowing that the game is still going on. Evan, in your experience, how does that feel? Obviously, you know, you've spoken about, you know, it's hard going out early, but what about that feeling of knowing that, you know, when you're on a plane back to Australia, there's still things happening out there? What is that feeling like? And so I don't mean to bring it up or anything like that.
No. I think it's important to dissect. As I said, I haven't seen the psychologist for a few months, so they'll be very happy that I'll have to book in after this again.
I'll be a psychologist.
That was sarcasm, just in case anyone's really worried about me. It is shattering. It is soul-crushing. The pit in your stomach, for me anyway, was like, far out, that the game is still going. And you know, it's funny, mate, I went out there not wanting to make any friends and not wanting to have any connections, and I go out there and I probably made two strong connections with people that I did trust, like I was trusting them for my own mutual benefit in Lee and Al, but I actually really liked them as people and I wanted one of them to win. And as much as when I left, I was so gutted, I was also thinking about them, thinking maybe they can't win without sitting next to someone like me, or maybe it will stuff up for them. And even Rowan and Phoebe, like I actually really got along and liked them. And I thought getting rid of me was a really dumb thing. And I thought, wow, how exciting would have it been to meet these other people? And all I needed to do was get on another tribe and I could have gone very far. I just needed to make that make that first swap. Yeah. And that's what's going in your mind. And you move past that and you digest it, of course, and you know that you're not invincible. And I'm sure there'll be people listening going, oh, man, I watched the edit. You're a moron. You know, you had no chance. You didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
And I'll say to them, hello, it's an edit. You don't see everything. But it is difficult going back, and especially for people that go back before things generally happen. Like when you go in the first four or five, when there's no swaps, you don't get to meet other people. You've only got one experience with a bunch, and you don't get to experience other challenges. You don't get to experience seeing people make moves. You don't get to do as much. So all I'm saying is more Survivor is a great thing. The less Survivor you get, the worse it is.
Yeah.
So it's mentally very, very tough for every single person. Everyone's got their different shades. But I think going out early is really, really tough because you do little checklists as you go along. You know, you get on there, you go, let's make some connections. Let's make some strategic moves. Let's do something now. Now let's get to a swap. Now let's get to a merge.
Yeah.
Now start changing. And when you're only able to do like a handful of those things, that's where you're like, ah, oh, damn it. And as much as I'm very blessed and you are very blessed and we're all very blessed, anyone that plays Survivor is blessed. Human nature is when you achieve a dream, you want the next dream.
Yeah.
And I can't believe how some people are like, oh, well, you achieved your dream. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yep. And I always love that dream. But you can still miss the next dream or the next goal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's human nature, isn't it? It's human nature. Yeah. You want the next thing and it's never enough. It's never enough.
No, never.
Well, this is why, you know, this question here kind of comes up from, where are we? This question from Dylan Prazer on Twitter says, do you think one day we will get a Yanks versus Oz versus Kiwis with the castaways chosen by the public in each country?
Well, when it comes to visas and all that stuff, I think it's difficult logistically, but it would be very, very interesting. It would be interesting in the sense that Americans would be idolized, like they would be put up on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And then you've got Kiwis and Australians that are similar, you know, like we do have differences, but we generally are similar people and there is a kinship there. So, it'd be very, very interesting. I hope it would be fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
That would be, that's, you know, the people always bring it up and I get, you know.
I'd like Survivor World though. I wouldn't like just three countries. I'd like Survivor World.
Yeah.
And because, you know, Europeans that play, they're very adapt at different languages. Australians, we're lazy. We don't like any other language. We struggle with English.
Would it be like when there was that World Idol though, when, you know, after a couple of seasons of, you know, Australian Idol or whatever it was, and then it was like Kelly Clarkson and it was just everyone sending their meanest judge to be mean to people. Like, I don't know.
Guy Sebastian saying the worst installment of What a Wonderful World I think we've ever heard. So
that's it.
Yeah.
I can't see it happening. So we can all give up on that dream. We can hope, but yeah. Would you be down for, say, you know, in a few years, if they said, would you be down to come back? I feel like you've said that before. I've heard you on the record say that. If there was a second chances vote, would you throw your hat in the ring for something like that?
I would be so blessed if people considered me. I think the thing that I would have in my favor is I did believe that throughout the process of auditioning, and from meeting producers that I was liked, but that doesn't mean you get on because you're liked. I do believe that I was honest. You see what you get, and strategically I had so much more to give and I wanted to play the game. So I think people that want to play the game and sometimes go early are more likely to come back because people go, well, at least they're going to play and we know what we're going to get.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to get someone back that's going to sit there and do nothing. No one wants those people back. Although game changes Haley, who knows? But
what you're saying is that people know that what they did last time, you know, like if this is your last chance, so you go big. Otherwise, you've already felt the sting of going home early. Yeah. Like you're happy to kind of, you can't get worse. Basically.
So I would absolutely do it hands down. It's one of the best things you can do in your life. It's such a gift. So as much as I say that it sucks sometimes that your dream ends and you want more of your dream, I'm forever grateful of the gift that I was given.
Yeah.
And to get that to happen again, to learn from mistakes, to get a different bunch of people, it would just be fantastic to do it again. And I think anyone that turns it down is just afraid of failure.
Yeah.
Like really, anyone that turns it down, unless it's for a personal reason or you can't have time to go out there, what are you afraid of?
Like, yeah, look, no, I agree. I would be afraid of not, like I said before, I had such a good experience and I got to do a lot of things, but like, obviously I didn't come close to winning, but I'd be afraid that I wouldn't be able to kind of like have the impact that I had last time. I feel like I could walk away from the game saying that I had a big impact on it.
Yeah.
And I would be afraid that, like, it's like what I just said before. Like, if you go out early, you know there's nothing, you know, the worst has already happened.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah. I think, like yourself, if you think about yourself, did you make more mistakes than good moves? Did you make more mistakes or did you make more good moves?
I feel that I didn't make a ton of mistakes. I feel it was my personality, which really, really did not sit well with a couple of key people, even though it sat well with a bunch of people. It was my personality, which really rubbed people the wrong way. And that's, I don't know if that's something I can change. That's the other thing. And I feel like the genie's out of the bottle. You know, people know, like, people have a very clear perception of who I am and the way I play. And
but wouldn't you enjoy going back in and putting on a bit of a roost and saying, guys, I've actually really had to think about who I am as a person.
Yeah. You know,
and in the past few years, you know, I've really had to analyze that and make up a story. Like, mate, I was looking forward to swearing on unborn children. I was looking forward to swearing on anything. Like, I find the fun in the game. Where can you be allowed to go out, lie, manipulate, cheat, steal? And at the end, people still like you or admire you for that.
Yeah,
like it's this surreal experience that is. That's why they say it's that once in a lifetime thing, because you can't act like that in the real world. Like, people do.
No, exactly.
But you're never held to account for it. So to be in an environment where everything you're doing is being scrutinized and there's a consequence, that's quite thrilling to me.
Look, it was one of the best things I've ever done. And, you know, it's just like I heard Zeke and Rob talking about it on the podcast today that, you know, how do you say no like that? And that's the hard part. But, look, for now, I'm very content. So let's move on. Let's move on. We've got a segment which everyone loves, and everyone sends me in they're close but no cigaraguas. So if you're listening for the first time, first of all, welcome. But second of all, this is the segment where you can tweet at me. I'm at Nick Idanza. Just send me your things, your hashtag close but no cigaraguas, the things where they're not quite right, the things that are – we've seen that before on Survivor, but why is it happening a little bit differently? And look, just want to make it clear that this is all in jest. I am loving Survivor New Zealand. I am very proud of the production company, but it doesn't mean we can't poke a little bit of fun. And I think it's because we've had 16 years of things one way that when they're a little bit different, they stand out. So I got a couple here if you would indulge me, Evan.
Yep.
The first one was sent in by two people at @Johnny93 and James Rowland. They both said about the naming of the Merge tribe and how it was already named for them. We've never seen this before.
Ooh.
How do you feel about that?
Kassa, Caesar, how do we say it? Kim Basinger, Basinger, Idanza, Danny, Zanza?
Kazar, I think it was.
Costanza? Kazar. Ooh, it's sort of Kazar. It's like a Mario world that you land on with a lot of those Koopa Troopers. Kazar. I think that why not? That's one of the beautiful things of Survivor. I wanted to get to Emerge purely so I could encourage people to, as a bit of a Boston Rob homage, one of my teddy bears' surname is Patiu. That's his name, is Patiu. And I thought that I would be able to sell that was a native Samoan word. So the beauty of naming something is very, very important, I think. And you get some humor from it or you get some friction. So naming something for them, I found a bit perplexed.
Let me tell you, I was so excited that we got to come up with a tribe name, and I threw a name out there, and it was accepted by the tribe, and I was so excited because it was the nickname that I call my little nephew. It was Markucci, and I had come up with this whole story. So this is a real little inside scoop for you. Come up with the whole story. Everyone loved it, and then the producers came into camp like later on that day and said, you are like, when you name the tribe, we will not be having it named after a female's body parts in Italian. And I was like, what? And I was like, and everyone thought that I was trying to be like really sneaky and sneak in that the name, that it is absolutely not a female body part in Italian, but I couldn't say in front of everyone, it actually isn't, you idiots. It's the name of my nephew, the nickname we call him. Yeah. But because of that, we ended up going with, you know, just Sam's dumb suggestion of Fia Fia, which was so close to Foa Foa from Survivor Samoa that it really bothered me that I couldn't. That we had to use it.
Fair, mate. Fair, you know? Doggy. Hey, doggy.
Your Sam impersonation is so good. It's so good.
It's about mateship, mate. You know?
You're giving me chills.
Oh, look, but can I just say, I love Sammy. This is no dig at Sammy Webb. I really love Sammy. So anyone I impersonate is a sincerest form of flattery. So
very good.
whether that's Mike Holloway, man, you know, or Tony Vlachas, you know. So love them all. Love them all.
Not bad. You got – all right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing what other accents you can pull out of the bag as we keep going. I want to hear a few more. So close but no cigarago, Stephen Wolf. Can you talk about Mike pronouncing Arvi's name as RV? I
thought that was the RV van driving around the state.
I was like, oh, I love that movie with Robert Williams.
And you're the only person in the world that did.
That was a good movie.
Arby.
That was just a funny little comment. Not a real close, but no cigarago, but we'll include it because Steven's funny. This one's funny. This one's interesting. Puyar says, the great Puyar asks, is the immunity necklace peak no cigarago? I need some clarity from the know-it-alls. I got to say, I thought the immunity necklace was great. I loved it. I thought the color was great. It reminded me all about the Survivor Africa immunity necklace, which is one of my favorites.
Crocheted. Like, it looks like some crochet weaving.
I'm down with that. But the problem, and I think the thing that makes it no cigarago, and I want everyone to check this out when they're watching, is that I reckon it's half finished. I reckon the art department was sitting there kicking back. They were putting everything together. Some little, like, you know, assistant runs in saying, quick, we need the immunity necklace. And they're like, that's today? We haven't finished making it. Quick, attach.
Oh, no, guys, we need the immunity necklace. Yeah.
Attach some string to the back. And they just put this teeny little piece of string. The bottom is so ornate and colorful. And there's this, like, weird, looks like a, when you, like, make, like, a mask in, like, primary school and then you just attach a little flimsy piece of string to it.
Yeah, the string will do. That'll hold it together. And everyone thinks that no one looks at the string. Everybody looks at the string. That's like why on our first day in Australian Survivor, we were on the mat and they threw out the bags to everyone with your buffs in it. Dez, good old Dez, dropped it on the ground. And so I picked up the string and put it in my pocket because I'm like, I need every bit of string so I can make something. I can make something fake. And then when it got towards where you're thinking about making one, you'd look at the string and go, I can't get away with this. You know, everyone's going to look at the string. They're not going to look at the little dangly rock or the hook or whatever it is. They're going to look at the string. So string's very important.
Inside the mind of a Survivor supervillain. I like it. Very good. I've got a few more questions here, if you shall indulge the listeners. Evan, a lot of people wanted to kind of send questions out to you. Do you have some time for those?
Oh, of course. I love listeners. I find anyone that would be interested talking to me is very humbling. And also, if people want to have a go at me, have a go. I love that. Like, that's what Australians are about, having a dig.
Are you on Twitter, Evan? I remember you told me the story.
I used to be. And then when I was going on the show, I thought, nah, stuff this. I'm going to go cold turkey. And then I deleted all these humorous things I said. And then you can't go back. You know?
Really?
You can't. I can't go back. It's deleted. It's not like putting on private. I think I did full delete. Like,
right.
What was I thinking? You know, like it's like the building a Death Star with, you know, a hole in it that can be found. I found that hole. I blew it up and I can't go back now.
You can't go back.
No, I can't.
We can't reboot your Twitter.
No.
All right. So if people want to find you, where do they find you? So on Instagram?
Well, so I suppose, Instagram. That's where I'm at the moment. I try to be humorous. I don't take myself too seriously. And mine's Evandalay Jones because I love Seinfeld. So it's basically E-V-A-N, Evan, wait for it, and then D-E-L-A-Y. So I've got Vandalay in there.
Very, very good. We've got plenty.
Yeah, Evander Leigh Jones. So
plenty of Survivor fans or Seinfeld fans. Find him on Instagram and send him your questions. But we've got a few questions here. We've got Sam Avery says, what happens if no idols were planted on a US season and they didn't tell anyone?
Come again? So if there was
so we've
no
got no
idols.
We've got no idols this season, yeah, and that brings up a lot of questions about, you know, are there no idols? Do they think that there are idols and they're not telling anyone? Have they told them that there are no idols? Just like they told us, and I don't know if people know this, but they told us, saying there will be no idols in the game for the first couple of days. You will know when they're in there. This is the other thing that people don't know about the neutral box thing that I did, is that they had told us all beforehand, saying there are no idols in the game for the first couple of days. Don't worry, you will know when they are in the game. So when we went on that quest thing, everyone is going to assume it's an idol. There is no point lying. There is no point lying unless you're idiots, like on the Sinapu tribe, that no one really thought too much that it was there was no, like, the show made it very clear that that was going to be idols. So
I was the only person in my tribe that even thought of it. Like, seriously, like, so that some people, because either they don't know it or they hope that it's not it. But the funny thing is, I was the same. When I was told that it won't be for the first couple of days, I thought, hang on, I heard the word couple, so that means day three I'm looking. And, you know, sadly for myself, on day three I was searching in the area where Rowan found it, and my hand was like a hand size away from it.
Yeah.
You know, how good would that be? Day three, Australian Survivor, no one's found an idol. You find it because you're searching for it. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, whatever. Call the ambulance for Ed. I think it's interesting not having idols, though. I think it is interesting. It's a real old school approach.
Well, what would happen? So Sam Avarice asks, what would happen if no idols were planted on a US season and they didn't tell anyone? Do you reckon that would send people insane?
Yeah, I think we expect it so much that it would be very challenging, but I think it would be interesting to see what they do, because you'd have people making fake ones.
Yeah.
You'd have people lying about it, or you'd have people probably holding on to tree mail and actually trying to fashion it into a different looking advantage and say, hey, I've got this. And it'd be interesting to see what people would do with it.
Like,
or to the depths of despair where you actually say that something like a run of a mill coconut that's cut in half is actually an idol.
The depths of despair.
Could you pass that and say, well, listen, I'm telling you, there's no idols. This is it. Like, it doesn't work if it's a stick, if you just ask Eliza. But
I was going to say, I believe we've seen this already. That it's just a fucking coconut. Yeah,
it's just a stick.
All right. Well, Gretchen Hunter sent in saying, doing a Survivor AU rewatch, and I wish Evan had lasted longer. No offense
thanks,
to Australia,
man,
but less mateship and more humor, more Evan. So there you go.
Oh, that's very kind. Who was that person's name? Because that might be the
Gretchen Hunter.
Oh, Gretchen Hunter, you're very, very kind. You might be one of three people that actually can tolerate me or thought that I was doing it okay. Do you know what is quite funny? And I'm glad Gretchen could see that, is that the amount of people that really dislike your game based on an edit that doesn't show everything you did is staggering to me. I do get it, but for someone that's loved Survivor, I can blog about people and say that, such and such did a bad job, but I still know that we didn't see everything.
Even when they do show all your game, well, most of your game, the casuals still hate me. So everyone is a hater when it comes to Survivor. No one is free from the wrath, and it just is, you just got to take it with a pinch of salt.
You do, and you got to roll with it. And there's always, it's like anyone, when a compliment, a smile, goes a very, very long way. So, Gretchen, you've made me smile. I'm very appreciative.
Well, keep smiling, because Michael Butler O'Rear Jr. says, how would you have ramped up your game if you had made the merge? I was very disappointed with your boot and thought you had a lot of potential.
Yeah, so I would have clung to Lee with every limb of my body, not only because I really love the guy, but he's a ticket through, and I would have loved to have seen that buddy in cop drama. where I'm sort of that Han Solo type, charismatic and a bit rebellious, and he's that Chewie, that loyal brute that defends you. But I also would have liked to have seen working with someone like Phoebe, even though it was represented that maybe we didn't want to work together. I tried to work with her. I would have liked to work with people like yourself. I would have loved to play with someone like Craig. And I think in terms of ramping it up, I just think my subtle lies would have got bigger. Like, I think that's what people often don't see. They see real big moves that you do, but they don't see subtle things that you do. And so I was looking forward to, you know, hiding things in people's things or saying, you know, that someone said something or didn't say something or admitting information, like playing the game that way. And I think what could have worked well for me is that I would have been a jigsaw piece for people to use. So if someone like yourself came up to me or someone like Phoebe came up to me that wanted to make a move, I think I could have easily played the clown and assimilated myself with some of the other people that really valued mateship. Like the amount of times I said that I valued mateship and I was loyal and things was ridiculous because you're trying to garner trust. Yeah, ramping up the game for me just would have been having the opportunity to bloody play more.
If you had gone to the end and it was you and Lee, would you have, sorry, towards the end, say you're in the final five, it's your dream scenario, would you have wanted to sit next to Lee? Do you think that you would have at that point thought that you could have beaten him?
Well, it's tough, that one, because if I'm playing the game and I'm in the merge and I'm seeing how things are playing out, obviously my perception and my experiences would have been different. I do honestly believe that if I made it through to emerge with Lee, that we would have stuck together. I do believe that. I think there would have been probably people that would have been more of a target than myself. Would have I voted him out? Personally, from watching it, seeing a guy dominate challenges, and I honestly think he was quite good socially, despite what other people might have thought. I think that if you've got the ability for people to come up to you and constantly say what's going on, you're garnering some trust. And whether that's because people looked up to him because he was winning stuff or they were afraid that he had more control than what he even thought he did, I still think that he did a lot of things right. So I would have probably liked to keep him to the point where if it got down to a thing where he was at a four, I would have wanted to get rid of him. I don't want him winning a challenge and then taking maybe someone else over me. But having said that, it's very tough to say because
you have to be there.
It is really, really tough. From my connection with Lee and even my connection out there, I would have loved to have seen him go. And this is what people didn't see. When I got voted out, I stepped up. I said Rowan had an idol. But then I went up to Lee and I patted him on the back and I said, win it. Because I honestly believed at that moment he could win the entire thing. And so I did want to see him win. Like, I can't lie. And it's not like I'm saying that I'm like very disappointed that Christy won. Yeah. But I would have loved to actually have been on that jury and defend him. And make people think. Like, yeah.
I went into the final tribal council saying I was going to vote for Lee. I had all the intention to. I was the lone voice who was actually arguing for Lee, and that's something that has been lost in translation to both Lee and to the audience. And I very much wanted him to win. The thing was that the Lee that you saw in the first half of the game and the Lee that I spent so much time with at Sanapu was not the Lee that was in fear, and that kind of did undo his game because socially he did he wasn't the same great guy that I spent all that time with, and you know, that's a shame. But you know,
shoulda coulda woulda. But once again, it is interesting, isn't it, where it comes down to perception, because not saying that your perception's wrong or anyone's perception's wrong, but when you're in a situation, there is something about where you do have to stick to that group. And some strategies are that you need to stick really tight with a group and say, if we just do this, we will get to the end. And then that in itself is a strategy, you know. So, but that can, you're right, that can rub people up the wrong way. And when you can't break into something and your instinct is, why isn't anyone playing? That can be frustrating. I get that as well.
Yeah. Well, Evan, we've got one last question for you that I think is an absolutely hilarious one, and we're going to end it here. I just love the wording of it. It says, Nathan Bayless, we all know what the BR rules, but what about the the BARB rules? What are they? So what are BARB's rules? Is one of them every decision, no matter how trivial, must be a group decision? What else would be? Let's brainstorm the top three B-Arb rules.
Oh, the B-Arb rules. I would love Philip Shepherd to introduce them. Can I just say that? I would love for him to introduce the
In his tidy purple fuchsia pants.
Oh, mate, I loved him. I don't get the hate for him. I just liked him. I really liked him. What a character. We need characters. Okay, so
I think one of them's got to be complain about the shelter.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Do we do something with a bit of an acronym like B, R, and B?
Sure.
So is it bag the shelter?
rub young people up the wrong way.
Yes, rub people up the wrong way.
And
I reckon it's just barbed wire. So barbed wire, because I believe that that's what barb's a bit like. So people from the outside see her and go, oh, that's what it is. It's going to hurt me, or it's not going to move. It's inflexible. If I get too close to it, I'm not going to like it. It's going to prick me.
Yeah, nice.
However, a barbed wire does have a very important purpose, which I think might play out for Barb. It keeps people on the outside. It keeps people away, and it's a wall. It's a real universally known structure. And that can be very, very handy for people in power to use that person as a barb.
Oh, Evan, this is why we had you on the podcast. That is the B-Arb rules to a T. Thank you so much for your insight. I think that wraps it up for us.
Anytime.
We've got one more thing we need to do, and that is we need to award the Danzy to the best player.
Yes.
Who do you think?
Of this week.
What do we got?
Week 5, episode 9, episode 10. I would say the best player would be. I'm going to go something a little bit different here.
Okay.
I'm going to go something a little bit different. And people will probably disagree because they'll say that there weren't probably maybe any moves made. But I'm going to go with Salah. Now, okay. This is not just because I love this guy, and people might watch that episode and go, but he didn't do anything. He just said some nice things. This guy has somehow painted himself as not a threat. And in a season where it is very, very likely that people will be rewarded for being a good person and having very strong values, I think what he's doing is brilliant at the moment. Like, how can they not see how charismatic this guy is? And he is an important number. He is still a really, really important number.
He is, and he gets the bump because he, you know, he gets his main ally back in the game with Shay. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I'm going to go with Arvi for this week. I think that he was in a position where everyone was clearly thought that he was with them, and he didn't catch any of the heat that Shannon caught. So they were both in the middle, but he came out unscathed. And, you know, he still has options. He's got more options than anyone else on the board. I'm going to give it to Arvi.
And, hey, listen, don't really disagree with that either. I think he played a fantastic game. But I do like sometimes looking at it when it's very obvious at looking at the other things.
Yeah,
because
true.
Sometimes they're the ones that come up and they sneak up on you. And you're like, well, really? Wow. Because we are seeing some people being very in control at the moment.
Yeah.
Very in control.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how this all pans out. I think it's going to be good. We've got next week, it says that we've got a vote happening straight away. They are going to go straight to another vote, an immunity challenge.
So, Nick, who goes? Who's your bet then? Like, if they're going straight to immunity challenge, we've just seen Lee gone. All right. So we've seen one side of the alliance is hideously outweighed. You would imagine no one's going to do anything crazy and go against the group they've just voted with.
Yeah, we're not having a live tribal. It's going to be the same. It's going to be someone from that group. Yeah. And now that Mike is not protected, I think this is the time where, you know, if he's not protected, this would be the time.
I think the editing was very, very poor in the preview. We saw Mike out in the dark saying, if I don't win this, I'm going home.
Yeah.
Now, that is a person that has just arrived at Redemption Island.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's what I feel.
It could be any number of things, but I think that's probably the most likely scenario. Either they're trying to avoid a pagoging and just trying to burn through that alliance, or they need someone at the Redemption Island to have the duel for. They need two people. So, that's a real shame, because in one night, both of them probably would have thought that they were going away, heading to the final five, and then boom, by the end of the night, both of them.
Maybe that's a nod to Arvi when he said, I'm going to be prepared for any surprises. Maybe he's actually going to get through these little surprises and the others aren't. So maybe a bit of foreshadowing there. Maybe we think he's crazy for saying that, but maybe they're giving us a little nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Well, we shall see next week, and I hope everyone tunes in again for the next installment of the Survivor Know-It-Alls, because I've got some great guests coming up, and please keep sending in your questions, your comments, your close but no cigaraguas. Send them in to myself on Twitter at Nick Idanza, or you can follow me on Instagram at Nick Idanza on that as well. Make sure that you hashtag Know-It-Alls, KNOWITOZ, and you can just hit us up and tell us what you think of the podcast, and make sure you check out all of the things that Evan's up to with his football podcast and everything else on Instagram. Evan, can I thank you so, so much for coming here and chatting with us? It has been an absolute pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Mate, thank you for having us, and also extending your bosom as wide as it possibly can be to just create this community that you're doing. You're doing a great job, Nick, and it's not easy to do. I'm telling you right now, for someone that does do podcasts and tries to relate with people and talk, it's not an easy thing to do to keep yourself up. So, Nick, you're doing a great job. And as you said before, Evandale Jones on Instagram. Follow me, send me stuff, tell me how much you don't like me, whatever it is. We're a big group.
Yes, well, we have the hashtag of the week. The hashtag is, I think we've got to go with hashtag teachers are us.
Hashtag teachers are us.
Excellent. Hit us up, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Evan, we'll catch up with you soon, and we'll be back next week. So catch you later, everybody. Bye.
Bye.